Let's go, boy. All right, I just got the official letter in the chat that says start talking. So
here we go.
Start talking, I guess. Hey, I'm Ron Riley, president of Gary Taylor and Associates here in Arroyo Grande. With me is Andrea Turnquist. Say hi, Andrea.
Hi, everyone. Andrea Turnquist, Placer Title Company, right here in Pismo Beach.
All right, and we are the Best Coast Business Toasts, and we don't want to be just about the coast. We're really about Central California. It just rhymes, right? So it just sounds good. But we are here to shine a light on businesses that are doing real well, businesses that need a little help. We are all about the business community and how we can all work together and help each other out a little bit. And we're going to be every second and fourth Tuesday at 3:30 live. So awesome live start today, right? Yeah, recorded too. And I don't know if we can delete out that awkward silence at the beginning, but
we might.
You know, hey, it's fun. So every show, we hope, the first one didn't work out because of technical difficulties. Every show is going to start with the Chamber Corner, and we've got with us South County Chambers of Commerce.
The amazing.
President, amazing CEO and president, maybe the best ever, the most presidential, Jocelyn Brennan. Thank you, Jocelyn, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad I could actually make it this time.
Yeah. Us too. Thank you. We all have busy schedules, and we know there's a lot going on in the world. And here you are, and look at you in your fabulous office. Where are you?
This is a fake office. I wish my office looked like this. I'm actually in my bedroom. But really, we do have, that's a good question. We do have multiple offices. We have a co-work space in Napomo on Tech Street. You can't miss it. It says visitor information, and we have co-workers in there. There's two spots available if anybody wants to get out of the house. We also have an office at the South County Regional Center, and then we have an office and a conference room at the California Welcome Center in Pismo. So, but I'm not at any of those locations today.
No, you're in your big living room.
A virtual office when she has eight offices to choose from.
Right.
That's great. No, you've chosen a nice one. It's a nice one. So, you know, we're going to try to spend usually around 5 minutes or so with you today. If it goes a little bit longer because it's the first time here today, then no big deal for us, although you're a busy person. You realize you probably have somewhere else to be. Want to talk about a minute just for about, we've got basically a week left, I think, for Business of the Year 2020. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, that's right. So every year, the community selects businesses of the month or business of the month. And we got a lot of applications this year because the businesses have been amazing. They have pivoted. They have opened. They have closed. They have opened with modifications and then closed again. So they've taken care of their employees and their customers. So we got a lot of nominations. The marketing committee then selects a business of the month. So there were 9 businesses of the month in 2020, and all of those businesses are now eligible to be business of the year for 2020. And it's such a tough decision because they are all so deserving. But the deadline to vote for which business you think should be celebrated as the business of the year from South County is the 31st. So it's this Sunday we will close the voting. So if you go to southcountychambers.com, you'll see a tab that says 2020 Business of the Year. Right. And then you can learn a little bit about each of the businesses. We have a little write-up about why they were selected. And then we also have an interview with each business, so you can watch the interview if you want to. And then at the bottom of the page, it takes you to the voting, and you can vote one time for, out of those 9 businesses, which one you think should be celebrated as the business of the year. And we have postponed our annual dinner and recognition awards to September 22nd. So that is when that business will be recognized. Hopefully, we'll be allowed to do our big event by then. And we've already booked Loriana, and it has plenty of indoor and outdoor space. So we're hoping by end of September, we can all the businesses and recognize one, especially as the business of the year.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was looking at my Facebook memories the handful of days ago, and saw when we were at Loriana just over a year ago. The world has changed so much in that time, and there were so many people in that beautiful space. And it was great to recognize the business and the ambassador of the year. That was awesome as well. And then also, I was struck, another memory popped up today. Leadership South County Retreat 2020 ended a year ago today. The weekend where I really got to know Jocelyn and a whole lot of people that probably you'll get to meet.
Is that what you posted on Facebook this morning?
It is. That big
picture.
It's
also a pretty important day, and like when the world changed.
Well, you know, the world changed for some people. It's the day that we learned that Kobe and Gianna were no longer a part of this world anyway. And it was a somber, sort of just surreal way to end a weekend that was so full of highs and lows and the leadership retreat, when leadership does come back. When is leadership going to come back?
Hopefully soon. So, you know, we want, last year's class 3 did such a good job of being sort of a hybrid class, and some was virtual and some were field trips in person, depending on what stage we were at with COVID. And so we're hoping to start that again here, hopefully in the spring, and be able to do more of it in person, depending on the COVID guidelines. But we would definitely have another class and keep it going. So we have the application still open, so people can still apply. We just haven't announced the start date yet.
Right.
And again, that's on southcountychambers.com, and you can go on there and learn all about the program and apply if you're interested.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Awesome. And I highly recommend that for anybody that's even thinking about it. Or if you're in business and you have people that you want to help grow their leadership skills or their connection to their community, that's an amazing way to do it. Jocelyn, I have one more question for you. Last week we were lucky enough, I mean, it was a big week for the chamber. We had the HR webinar, which was amazing. We had the business meetings for Arroyo Grande and for Grover Beach. And then a governmental affairs meeting, which I somehow missed that one. I'm sorry. I did hear, Andrea, that a certain Senator Padilla might be interested about coming on this show. I hope he's not watching right now, because he may
change
his mind.
I heard that too.
But so that was a really big week. Hopefully there's a week or so off. And then what should we be looking for the first half of February?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And thank you, Ron, for all your commitment to all those different committees. So we do have steering committees or business committee meetings for each community. So we have one for Pismo, we have one for Grover, we have one for Pomona, Oceano, of course, one for Rio Grande. And so that is when people from that community can get together and talk about things that are specific to that community. We always have a good time networking, and the businesses really getting to know one another. And then we usually have an update from the city manager and a council member. And so those are monthly. So if you're a business in one of those communities and you want to participate, you can put it up at the chamber, and we'll make sure that you get that Zoom link.
Okay.
And then we also have a monthly governmental affairs, and that's where we work on more regional things. We heard from State Parks at this last one, and we also got to meet Don Ortiz-Legg, our new District 3 County Supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a monthly membership coffee. So our next one is on Thursday at 9 a.m., and everybody's welcome to come to that, whether you're a chamber member or not. And it's just a good time to network, and then you get to learn about the chamber. And a lot of people are like, what is a chamber of commerce? If I'm a business, why do I need to join? And so that's when we talk about the benefits and how you can use the chamber to promote and grow your business. So that's on Thursday at 9, and it's completely free. We're doing everything virtual right now, just like everyone else. We'll keep doing things virtually for a while longer.
Well, thank you for keeping us safe. And I'll say for anyone thinking about it, is virtual coffee or the coffee meeting is the one that really got us going. We were members before that, but finding out all the different things we could do through the chamber, it's done a ton for Gehring Taylor and Associates. It's done a ton for me. So anybody thinking about it, don't hesitate. Make sure you go. And Jocelyn, anything else you want to shout out, talk about before we move on to today's exciting guests?
Well, lastly, I just wanted to thank you for being on our board of directors, and I also wanted to congratulate Gehring Taylor and Associates for being our January 2021 Business of the Month.
Salud.
And thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, excellent way to start the year, and thank you so much. And there's a whole video on that, you guys. I'll share that with you guys, too. But thank you for your time this week, Jocelyn. We'll look forward to 2 weeks from now. We'll have you again.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Jocelyn. Appreciate the info. See you soon.
Yeah. All right. So I talked entirely too much during that segment.
No, you didn't. Great.
Did you want
to say anything? Nope. I'm just here for the party.
Well, that's good. Do you want to talk about?
Yes. I would love to introduce our guest.
Awesome.
Are you ready for this?
Well, he's an awesome guest, right?
He is an awesome guest. Yeah. Okay. So without further ado, did you introduce yourself? Did I introduce me? Are we good?
We did. We covered all that. Let's talk about Frank.
All right, Frank, are you here with us?
Yes, I'm here.
I hear you.
I'm hearing like every third word still, but I'm going to do my best here. So.
And you know, we're still working out the kinks.
Every other word's R-rated, so you're doing fine.
Not in my world. Weird. All right, everyone, without further ado, Frank Shiro, that's how we pronounce that, correct? Can I read your little biro, Mr. Shiro? All right, so here's what we've got going on. If you don't know this guy, you probably want to, or you've probably visited a couple of his restaurants. So he was born and raised in Sacramento. He attended CSU, Sacramento. He moved to Palm Springs in 87 to pursue professional golf.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love golf? You can even make custom Pro V golf balls if you knew that by now. In 97, he took over the family building and real estate development business. 2011, he moved to Central Coast to start Rooster Creek Tavern. I have a couple friends that work there. You do really good with your picker-outer of employees. Good job. 2013, he started Shell Beach Brew House. 2015, he founded Mason Bar and Kitchen, as well as, do we call it Milestone? Milestone? How do we say that?
It's Milestone.
Milestone Tavern and Flow, correct?
Correct.
Foothill, Santa Rosa, right there.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself other than what I just did.
Well, I would say the route into the restaurant business was rather unusual for me. We visited the Central Coast quite a bit as my brother-in-law was a founder in a company called Ash Management, which had a lot of Mother's Tavern, kind of college bar kind of thing, not so much into the restaurant business. And when they indicated that they were interested in moving into more of a restaurant that has a bar, we thought that we were interested in partnering with them. And that's when the Rooster Creek opportunity came up. My kids loved visiting their aunt and uncle. And when they said, hey, we have the opportunity to move here, even my daughter, who was a freshman in high school at the time, said, we don't move here now. I'm going to move here when I'm 18 and live with my aunt and uncle, with or without you. So that kind of gave us the green light to move to Central Coast, and we started Rooster Creek. And my expertise really was more in building and interior design and development. And so I did the tenant improvement for Rooster Creek and did a lot of the interiors and that kind of thing. And that was my strength. And I got the chance to learn the business from people who knew what they were doing, which anybody who wants to get into this business, I would say, please have a mentor. Don't do it on your own without knowing what you're doing, because it's a lot to learn. And I've had the privilege of learning from some of the greats in this business, and Bill Hales and Ron Meyer and Mercedes Meyer We all have our kind of, our parts of the business that we handle, which really makes it a lot easier. The idea of doing this alone, by yourself, would be extremely spooky to me. My hats are off. I know Joe DeFranzo, there's so many people that have done it and done a great job doing it. My hats are off to them. I'm not one of those guys. That's how I got into this business, and I'm very thankful for the group that I have around me.
Well, it makes sense that you have a background in building and development, because obviously all four of your establishments, and they're all the interior. I mean, it's amazing. These places look amazing, all of them.
Thanks.
So.
I really do.
I appreciate that, and I, the one thing that I thought I could bring to the table was to I could listen to my partners and hear about what they thought each one of these places could be, and it was really kind of an interesting fit because my father was in the development business. He never built the same house twice. He built all custom homes. Everything was built to suit, and I really felt like this restaurant group didn't want to do the same thing twice, and they haven't done the same thing twice. And so each place has its own personality. It has its own character. And I tried to match, the interior and the feel of each place to what the vision of that place was going to be. And I think it's worked pretty well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would have to agree.
I'm going to take a step back. I can't just let this go. I got to ask about the golf career. What happened there?
I'm sorry. What
more
happened?
The golf career. So
oh, what happened to golf? Oh,
yeah.
It's pretty simple. So, I had a pretty successful collegiate golf career. I was a 3-time All American. I turned professional. I had all the hopes of spending my life playing golf for a living. And when it came to the point where I was playing on the Canadian Tour in 1995 and realized that I was going to be away from my first daughter quite a bit. And I wasn't really that good at it, to be honest with you. A lot of people thought I was, but the reality was at that point, I was struggling and I just decided that, I felt like the best decision for me was to be home with my family, and I didn't want to be a vagabond living out of a suitcase for the rest of my life. And it was one of the great decisions that I made for me. I certainly have tons of friends out there on the tour right now. Most of my friends are actually on the senior tour.
Nice.
But,
isn't that called Masters?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just kidding.
The old dude. Just call me old dudes.
Old dudes rule.
Yeah. So Kevin Sutherland and Scott McCarron are really good friends of mine. We grew up playing junior golf together.
Yeah.
And I'm very, I'm envious in a way, but at the same time, I know they're envious of my life in a way too, because I got to coach all my kids in their sports and their endeavors and got to watch them grow up and be a part of that. Mm. And I'm very thankful for that.
That's so cool. Important. Well, you can be a part of our foursome at the Home Builders Association tournament anytime you want.
When is it?
So the Home Builders Association tournament? I don't know. It's going to be maybe in September.
It's funny. I used to play in the one in Palm Springs
in
every year. And when I moved here, I just haven't made that connection yet, but I would love to.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you again for making some time for us and for being brave enough to be our second guest. I'm reading the chat here. It looks like we're having some video issues, but the audio is working fine. We can see each other. I don't know if anybody else can see us, but that might be for the better. Who knows?
I don't know.
The only person I can see right now is myself, which that's really sad because I better see you guys.
Hey, my wife teaches at Lopez High School, and occasionally I walk by. She teaches at home, and they're not allowed to make them turn on the cameras. So,
I have a story about
students,
that.
There's only one or two students that'll turn them on. So she's teaching in these black boxes all day long. It's
rough. I know.
Difficult. Yeah.
I have two teenagers at home, a freshman and a sophomore. And this semester, it was like, if your camera's not on, you're considered absent. So turn your camera on.
So this morning
before I left for work today, I'm like, turn your camera on. My son's like, then you need to get out of the picture.
That's been a game changer for us as well. My son is a junior at AG High.
Okay.
And the camera has all of a sudden made this actually workable.
Mm-hmm.
We had some major struggles after having a straight A student who loves school and going to school.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And sports too, I'm sure.
And sports too. Mm-hmm. Exactly. He's now playing golf. He decided to give up baseball. He was going to be playing varsity baseball and decided to jump over to golf. So that'll be interesting.
Well, if he's got your dad's blood, then he'll be fine. Maybe he'll get his PGA card?
For the record, he still hasn't beaten me yet. But those days are numbered.
Okay. Yeah,
learn from the best.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
So I don't want to I'd be remiss if we missed the moment. I mean, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before that the governor put a stop to the stay-at-home order, and a whole bunch of things must have changed for the restaurant industry. Can you tell me what's changed in the last day or two and how you guys are proceeding?
Yeah, sure. As much as I feel like I have my ear to the ground with contacts, we did not see this coming. And the earliest part we got it was Monday night. We just to back up a little bit, you know, we felt like we've done the best job we could possibly do, given the rules that we were given. We felt like we had a safe work environment. Our health department told us we had a safe work environment. Our history with transmissions told us that we had a safe work environment. And so when it was shut down, when outdoor dining was shut down, that was the thing that was really a crusher for us. We had gone to the point where we were doing actually a better business at some of our establishments with outdoor dining only.
Right.
And we were just absolutely flabbergasted by it. We were serving food in a circus tent, and people were loving it. And when outdoor dining was taken away, that was a dagger in our back. And we just felt like we were betrayed, because we knew the numbers of people that had COVID. Some of our staff who had got it, none of them had got it at work. They got it in their houses from their families, and none of them gave it to anybody at our workplace. We felt like we were proud of that fact.
Yeah.
And so now when this went away, to serve our operations are so full service. They're so about the customer experience with the server, with the bartender. To take that away, it was, you know, we're not a fast casual establishment. None of ours are. And so we're just so, when we heard that this was coming back, we really felt like we had probably two more months when we were going to lose 50% of our staff forever. They had to go find work elsewhere,
right,
outside of hospitality business. And that's when, you know, the depression starts to really hit you, because you realize how much you've worked and how much your staff has worked at training your staff. And it's taken years to get to this level, and to lose half your staff or more and to retrain a staff. Yes, it can be done, but it's almost like losing a house in a fire. You just know you're back to zero. We've got to rebuild it all. And when we found out that the governor had rescinded that order, it was a mass celebration very quickly.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But right now you still have the parklet out there. You still have the to-go. You still have the outdoor dining. Are there plans to reopen and get your staff back, or what's the plan?
Well, yeah, our staff is back today. We're serving, you know, the difference is, you know, getting to-go food in a cardboard box versus having somebody come out and serve you. And so we're all places have staff now serving outside. Part of our experience. It's part of what we think we do well. And so yeah, we're back to go, and we hope that, you know, looking at numbers, you know, when we get back to orange, we can go to 25% inside. We feel like we were safe when we were 25% inside. Mm-hmm. And we're just looking forward to that as well.
I think we all are. All like ready for this to just
see. Especially when we have a giant deluge coming over the next course of the next 5 days, but we'll do our best.
I'm sort of in the business of watching that. We have to do stormwater inspections, and watching it go from, you know, we're gonna get 4 or 5 inches next week to 6 to you suddenly started watching Wednesday, and Wednesday turned into 7 inches on its own.
Yeah.
Who is building the ark?
Right. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. We put at Mason Bar, we actually put gutters on our tent very early on, just because we knew that the rain was coming at some point.
Right.
We haven't used them at all yet, but I think we're going to use them in the next couple of days.
I hope nothing blows away. It's going to be awfully windy as well.
Yes, absolutely. We'll find out.
That's right.
Concrete buckets can't handle.
You know, so one of the big things that we want to do with this show, and you know, as things evolve, we'll be really excited if you'd be able to come back. By the way, we would love that. Is try to ask, you know, even if people are doing well, you know, what is it that people in the community or people in the business community can do to help, not necessarily even your restaurants, but to help the restaurant industry in general during this time right now?
Well, I think the first, you know, obviously patronage is huge, and we've had so many locals and so many loyal followers stick with us at Shell Beach, at Rooster, at Mason, and at Milestone, and we appreciate that very much. I think that the biggest thing for people to, that I encourage people to take a look at is take a look at the science on outdoor dining. And outdoor dining is safe. And I think a lot of people, just because, you know, once our state pulled back outdoor dining, I think a lot of people just off the top of their head assumed, oh, there must be something wrong with outdoor dining, and people must be getting COVID left and right from outdoor dining. And the reality is that's not true. And I think it's one of the reasons why the governor came to the conclusion that he did in the last couple of days, and that no other state has been banning outdoor dining. We're the lone wolf out there, and yet there's no science, with two lawsuits looming and judges saying, "Hey, bring me the evidence that you've closed these people's businesses down, and for outdoor dining," and they had to admit that they don't have that, and so. I think it's really key for the next year that people, you know the truth. And I've said this forever, that if science comes out and says outdoor dining is dangerous, we don't want to be open. We don't want to be spreaders of this disease. We're very conscious about having a safe work environment. And the fact that, you know, we've got to the point now where people have realized that this is safe. We want to continue doing this in a safe way, and we're excited to have that opportunity again.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, where do we go from here? Every day is a new day. So we just keep at the mercy of the powers that be. But,
you know, one of the things that I think that we did as a company, and I applaud when our company meets, I've read quite a bit of history. I'm kind of a history buff, and to listen to our Constitutional Congress and how they debated and how they talked and listened to each other and how people's opinions could actually change the minds of other people's opinions in that Congress. That's how our company works. And when I went into our meeting on March 17th, which was our first day closed, when we first closed down, and I think I was I was ready to give the speech of, hey, we need to stay open to do whatever we need to do to keep our employees employed and listening to the experienced owners that we have. The first priority that actually goes back to how much you want your employees, how much you want to take care of your employees, is the survival of your business.
Right.
And so we made the decision, as much as I didn't necessarily think it was the right one that day, I came to find out that it was that we were going to close and we were going to conserve all cash. We were not going to pay any invoices that were outstanding. That the thing that we could do for our employees is to have a business to come back to whenever this was over. And you can remember at that time, there was so much uncertainty about what this was, and how long it was going to be. And people thought it was a couple of weeks at the most. And so now looking back on it, that was one of the wisest things that we did. It just, and then when the PPP came out, we held the PPP until we were open again. And that was a hard decision to make, but everybody was on unemployment. We kept, you know, tabs on our employees. We're going to make sure that nobody has problems feeding their families or anything like that. And then when we opened back up and to have the PPP at that time, that was a game changer for us. That was one of the things that turned out right. And it was a gamble. Nobody knew the best way to do it. We'd never done a pandemic before.
Right.
But how do you work
through those strategies and like how to prepare for that too? How do you know what to do? That was good business.
I mean, that was one of those things where we all sat around that day. That was St. Patrick's Day. And we sat around drinking Jameson and going, gosh, you know, we thought we could be taken out by an earthquake,
right?
A natural disaster, a fire. You prepare that in your mind. Nobody in this group of very smart people ever came up with this idea that a pandemic might be the end of our business.
No,
it just was so out there that, but we never considered it. And so now we have to, rethink
Frank, one of the things that's stunning to me is you always hear that it's one of the most difficult businesses to go into anyways, that the margins are just so razor thin in the restaurant industry. And that even when you're open full time, there's a risk that, you know, it's basically almost month to month. And so it was amazing to me that A, you guys had the wisdom to make that first decision to stay closed. And then B, how you've been able to navigate almost an entire year of almost just basically being partially open. And all four restaurants are living to see another day. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, that's kind of the people said, what are your goals? And it's survival. That's
right.
Really it. I mean, we want to make sure that our employees, if somebody's, if we had to lay off, we laid off all of our workforce, and now we've laid off in this last round, it's probably been like 70% to 80% of our workforce. Now we just brought them back yesterday.
Right.
We got to make sure everybody's okay.
Yeah.
Got to make sure that everybody's feeding their families and making their house payments. But the reality is that if we tried to get too aggressive with just making sure that like a lot of people used the PPP and paid their employees during, when it first came out, but you weren't open yet because you were encouraged to do that by the government. And for us, that wasn't a good decision. Our employees were making more money on unemployment than they were at that time by what we were going to give them with the PPP. And so they said, hey, we don't want that. We're fine right now.
Yeah, I've heard that's been a struggle for a lot of people. Yeah. It was hard to get their employees to come back to work because they were making more money on unemployment than they were working.
Right. And once we got into that clear, we were outside dining, we could bring them back and they're going to make more on tips.
Right.
And so that's kind of the whole with our business, for them, how they thrive. It's tips as well.
Well, and I'm so glad to hear you say these things about the Paycheck Protection Plan. I know, you know, so I'll freely admit our company has used it as well. And at first I was extremely nervous about it because I like to listen to a lot of different, I don't know, national advisors, I guess you'd call it. So there's one in particular, the Dave Ramsey Show. Dave Ramsey said, do not take the PPP, do not take the money. The SBA is the DMV of the lending world, right?
Dave Ramsey said that?
Dave Ramsey. And
the man of all men?
Hey, wow. You know, so there's a lot of things that he said they're probably right, but I think you missed the mark on that one. I'm glad to see that there are people that are doing okay today because they took it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how else would you not?
Yeah, in the restaurant business, you know, we spent our first PPP in the first, you know, two and a half months. It was gone.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
And it was all payroll. There's no question about forgiveness. We're,
right.
You know, now we have expenses like, you know, the tents that we bought and all the outdoor areas and the parklets and all that. And now the second PPP, we're going to be able to deduct that expense.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer, and I'm a Dave Ramsey fan, but in that case,
yeah.
Dave, for our particular business, that was
right.
Not
bless your heart.
That wouldn't right. Have been a good call.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even want to know what the magnitude of the construction was about that amount just to make it happen.
Oh, and that's the whole thing. So, you know, you when you think about, you know, we rolled the dice.
Right.
We decided that we wanted to do parklets, you know, nice parklets, and we didn't want to, you know, just put people out on the asphalt, you know, in the street with a couple of tents or a couple of umbrellas, and you know that was a risk. I mean, we didn't know if we were going to be using those parklets for a week, a month, a year, and still in Pismo, every month it's renewed, month
sure.
to month. AG has decided that the city of AG has been wise enough to say, hey, you're not taking that parklet down right now. The way the permit is written is until the very last COVID restriction is lifted.
Good.
And
yeah.
God knows how long that'll be, you know, that, and they're also actually already talking about letting us keep those forever. And so that's
really
a
cool.
discussion that is going to be ongoing.
We've got some really nice heaters.
You got Short Street, right? So basically, all of Short Street is dedicated to you now.
Got Short Street under a tent, yeah, and then the parklet, the smaller parklet at Rooster, and then the 90-foot parklet at Shell Beach, and that's really kind of kept them alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one was a bit of a fight too.
It was a fight. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I remember that emergency.
I only say Matt Downing, and all disclosure, is a friend of mine. I remember it being a.
I'm not a big Facebook poster. I was looking for a more aggressive, trying to contact city council and trying to get an answer back.
Right.
I didn't get it. And so I kind of went to the mattresses with Facebook. It's the first time I'd done that.
Yeah,
I didn't really think anything of it. Yeah. And it kind of blew up and
got a lot of support.
I think and some of the city council members at that time were not real happy with me, but that's, you know, I just felt like I needed to do that for the survival of our business. And
yeah, and again,
so,
it survival,
it
right.
worked out, and I think we're on good terms now.
Yeah.
Everybody's friends, and hopefully we can get through this all together.
Good.
We will. We will. You tell the world what you want. Put it out there. Stay positive.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you for being here.
That might be a good place. Andrew, do you have any more questions for today? I mean,
do I have any more questions? I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we've covered a lot of stuff. Thank you for all that you're doing, and thank you for all your accomplishments and being a part of the show today.
Right.
We're grateful for you.
Andrea and Ron, thank you for having me on, and our staff, thanks you.
Yeah.
Our family of owners, thanks you. It's a great thing that you're doing, and I think it's interesting how, you know, we didn't do any of these things kind of before COVID, these Zoom meetings and that whole thing. And it's really brought us closer together
right.
when it was harder to get together. And I thank you for it.
Aww,
yeah, you bet. And we are the Best Coast Business Toast. So even if it seems cheesy, we do always want to end with a toast. And today.
I heard that.
Yeah.
So we have a thing in our company where we don't let toast waters bad luck. So
good.
I have some Elijah Craig bourbon right here.
Look at you.
So I'm gonna toast with you.
Oh wow. I wish I could be sharing that with you, but I am having some of the
I actually have water and White Claw, so maybe I'll do both.
Yeah,
okay,
see, that would be bad luck. Don't do water.
No bad luck. That's like broken mirrors.
Yeah. I've got the straight up Citra from Man Rock today.
Well, salute.
Yeah, Frank, real quick, just, you know, so for each of the four restaurants, and I believe there are four of you that are in the partnership on the four restaurants, there may be more behind the scenes, you know, and that we may get to the orange portion of this programming sooner than later. Let's at least get through purple very soon. And a big thank you for enduring some of the technical issues today and the fact that we're brand new at this. And and we'll toast to you coming back sometime to give us an update when things are doing a lot better. Frank, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You call and I'll be there. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Ron.
All right.
Have a great night.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. So...